Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation. We thank you that he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility, on bended knee, with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. This is the series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit, and the message, James, Coming Against Dead Faith, by Mary Craig Demin, and message delivered by Stephen Craig, that's me, February 12, 2023, Mary Craig Ministries, Inc., Craig House Christian Fellowship. So this is James, Coming Against Dead Faith, in the series The Gift of the Holy Spirit. The Epistle of James was written to come against the dead faith which had already begun to prevail at his time. James draws a line between nature and grace through all life. He contrasts spiritual relationship with God with a forgetful hearing which neither keeps itself unspotted from the world nor demonstrates the honor, love, and goodwill prompted by the law written on the heart. True relationship with the living God will demonstrate a true loving relationship. True relationship with the living God does not lead to mechanically going through the motions of religion. This can happen with Christians just as it can happen with people of other various religions. We all like and tend to habitual living. We like to do A, B, C, and D, and know that there. We've been a good Christian today. Okay. Yes, there, we've been a good Christian today. All right. But life with the Holy Spirit is more like a river flowing and alive, moving and teeming with life. A disciplined life can be good, but if it becomes ritualistic, it soon becomes dead religion, with dead works resulting from a dead faith. James pokes at a hollow profession of faith by the license given to the tongue, which both blesses and curses and runs all over the place without boundaries or wisdom. There is a vain boast of wisdom. But James says in James 3:13 to 18, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good conduct, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast in it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual or sensual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap the fruit of righteousness." James 3:13-18. This counterfeit wisdom comes from a spirit counterfeiting the Holy Spirit. It is another wisdom, earthly, sensual, and demonic. It is the wisdom of the Queen of Heaven and goddess spirits. It allures with its sensuality and intoxicates with its wine. The Queen of Heaven's spirit is a counterfeit Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the strange woman. It was the wisdom of the serpent that beguiled Eve to desire forbidden fruit, thinking that God was not good by giving that one boundary and that she could be as God, knowing good and evil. The wisdom of the serpent deceives and perverts the goodness of God, such that Eve and countless others after her believe a lie and in the process reject Christ, the wisdom of God, the Spirit of Christ as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. By the way, Adam knowingly and willingly ate the fruit, plunging humanity into the state of sin and misery by his rejection of the wisdom of God. There is a brilliance that comes to those seeking a wisdom apart from the wisdom of God. It is the brilliance of high-mindedness. It is an overestimation of one's, quote, self, quote. It is putting man as the center of all things and not God. This other wisdom has many forms and cries out in the streets. It is earthly of the earth. It causes people to look to themselves, to self-help, to self-medicate, and to rely upon themselves. What it doesn't do is encourage humility. James bids those who lack wisdom to ask for wisdom from God. Amazingly, God, who has all knowledge and wisdom, does not upbraid people for this. It takes humility to ask for wisdom. It's like people who refuse to stop and ask for directions when they can't find where they're going. It's like people who refuse to research something to get the information they need, as if it's in their brains by osmosis. It's like people who have a Bible by their bedside, but that's more for show than for meeting their needs. The Holy Spirit is only mentioned once in James, but the entire letter takes for granted the necessity of His renewing grace. Capital H, His renewing grace. For example, let's read James 1:17-18 and see how James implies the Spirit's involvement. James 1:17-18, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, with whom there is no change or shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of His creation." James 1:17-18. James assumes the Spirit's work of regeneration by the word of truth as foundational. So James assumes the Spirit's work of regeneration by the word of truth as foundational. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is the author of faith. Jesus is also referred to as the author and finisher of our faith in Hebrews 12. The Holy Spirit regenerates the heart of the elect one, making that heart his habitation or dwelling place, and then makes a temple worthy of himself. The only express mention of the Holy Spirit is in James 4, verses 5 and 6. James 4, 1 through 6 says, "What causes conflict and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the passions at war within you? You crave what you do not have. You kill and covet, but are unable to obtain it. You quarrel and fight. You do not have, because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may squander it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever chooses to be a friend of the world renders himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to dwell in us yearns with envy? But he gives us more grace. This is why it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." James 4, 1-6. This follows the wisdom teaching and warnings against the counterfeit wisdom. In James 4, James warns against loving the world, your world. Out of the fallen nature comes lust. The Greek word means to set the heart upon, to long for something rightfully or not, to covet, to desire, to lust after. So that's the word lust, and that's also Strong's 1937, is the reference. These longings lead to a war within us. It can be a war between mind and emotions. We want something so badly and don't have it. We want it so much and see others who have what we want, and we can't stand it. We move from coveting to jealousy, to envy. We fight with God and we war in air and ground attacks. We have not, James says, because we refuse to ask in a proper way. We move from respectful request, recognizing the sovereignty of God, to demands, declarations, and outright Christian witchcraft. In this, we are filled with that demonic wisdom, the counterfeit Holy Spirit, the Queen of Heaven's Spirit, who sits in defiance of the living God and seeks to usurp what rightfully belongs to God as Creator, Redeemer. We cross the line. We want something so much. We want that thing in order to feed our lusts. James 4, verse 3 uses a different word for, quote, lusts, unquote. Strong's 2237. It is hedone. It's spelled H-E-D-O-N-E, hedon-a, from which we get hedonism. It means sensual delight, pleasure. We don't want this thing because it is God's will. We want this thing for our own ease, for our own pleasure, for some sensual delight. We want it. We need it. We deserve it. Doesn't God want me to be happy? So why doesn't he give it to me? What's wrong with him? James calls it outright adultery. It is spiritual adultery. We've fallen prey to the counterfeit Holy Spirit. We've fallen prey to the counterfeit Holy Spirit, to the cries of our fallen nature, to the voices of our self, Satan, and the spirit of the world. We've become friends of the world, and thus enmity with God. God has turned and become our enemy, just as we walk in pride or engage in works of darkness. When we walk in the flesh and thus war with the Spirit, when we worship and serve the creation, and when we oppose the will of God. And then comes our verses, James 4, verses 5 and 6. These are better translated, quote, "Do you think the Spirit speaks in vain? Does the Spirit that dwells in us lust to envy?" Unquote. I'll read that again. These are better translated, quote, "Do you think the Spirit speaks in vain? Does the Spirit that dwells in us lust to envy?" Quote. The Holy Spirit is the one who inhabits the heart of the true believer. And the reference is Romans 8, 9, 2 Timothy 1, 14, 1 John 3, 34. He dwells in believers and instructs, comforts, and sanctifies them. The believer is one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. I'm going to read that again. The believer is one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. James is asking, can the Holy Spirit dwell in a heart that is full of envy? No, not without an inevitable war. But he gives more grace. The Holy Spirit will move in our lives to make us harbor no envy at another's welfare, but rather wish to see another's blessings enlarged. He gives more grace. Proverbs 3:34, Numbers 11:29. How does he do this? He tells us what to do. That is, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we want God to stop resisting us and warring against us, then we are to submit ourselves to God, bow before His sovereignty, stop being our own Savior and Lord, stop thinking we are the master of our own destiny or someone else's destiny. Resist the devil. Get him out of the picture. We have enough to deal with having God resisting us. The devil will flee. Jesus said that the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. That's John 14:30. Draw nigh to God and know that if we do that, God will come close to us. Approach God, be at hand. Make a proper appeal to God, one that He will hear. If we are still asking amiss, ask Him to make our hearts right before Him so that we won't ask amiss. Believers have been bought with a price. Their lives are not their own. James instructs, cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What are you doing? What's going on inside? Do we want the will of God or our own way? Are we double-souled of two minds, two wills warring within, longing for our own pleasures to make our lives more comfortable, or longing with the desires, or rather, longing with the desires and heart of the Holy Spirit. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. We may think that all this is funny. Stop. It's no laughing matter. It's something so serious that we should be mourning over the deadness and coldness of our hearts. What's making us happy? Does it make God happy? If not, then feel the Holy Spirit's grief. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. All we have is words. Get flat on your face before Him and bring Him the words He says He wants to hear. For example, let's not think we are above the law. God is lawgiver and judge and able to save and to destroy. Who are we compared with the living God? God owns all things. He has rights over all creation, everything. To rob Him is to take from Him what is rightfully His property. The word for, quote, rob, quote, means to steal, to overcharge, to keep something from to keep someone from getting something. So that is to steal. This is rob. To steal, to overcharge, to keep someone from getting something. To usurp is to take a position illegally or by force or in a violent way without the right to do so. To commandeer, assume, expropriate, to take the place of someone, to dethrone, oust, to encroach or infringe upon someone's rights. This is especially as regards power and position. And it is exactly what the devil tried to get Jesus to do out in the wilderness temptations of Luke 4. Let's not think our case is worthy of some exemption or that we are exempt from the will of God. We can't think we are exceptional, living in our own little neighborhood and being the neighborhood judge, king of our castle. What are we trying to do? Usurp part of creation away from the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ and take away what rightfully belongs to Him? It's like we stake out a claim for ourselves, and since we don't see the presence of God because of being in our sin, we take our claim and say, quote, unquote, mine. Like a child, our lives are like vapors, here today and gone tomorrow. Rejoicing in our boastings is evil. Watch those great swelling words, Ephesians 4, verse 31. So let's watch our words, how we make our appeals and approach a holy God. And know this, that to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. This is a rough message. All right. So James is pretty tough on us. Yes. And the Lord God seriously wants us to have evidence of a living faith. James' letter is considered the Proverbs of the New Testament. The good news is God gives more grace. He is the God of all grace, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. In James, God gives us a strategy for returning to Him. Let's take it seriously. Let's take Jesus seriously. Let's persevere and never lose hope, for God's love never fails. Whenever we stray, we can turn back. He's told us what to do. Humility before Him is the key. I'll read that again. Humility before Him is the key. And by the Spirit of grace, we will grow to learn to count it all joy when we might fall into various trials and testings of our faith. We will persevere. God is faithful, and He also will do it.
All right. Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we come before You on bended knee in all humility, that whatever we can muster, Lord. And we thank You that Jesus humbled Himself and obeyed, even a radical obedience, even to death on the cross on our behalf. And God, all that You give us, we don't deserve it. And we come before You, and Lord, You do pierce our hearts. But we also thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You for all that He has done and He suffered, Lord, that we might have an abundant life. And so we ask God for this grace. We ask for the wisdom that comes from above. We ask for Jesus, the wisdom of God, Lord. We ask that You help us, Lord, and especially that we might forgive others even as Christ has forgiven us. We thank You that You forgive us. We come to You with the words You have said to come with. I have perverted Your ways, and it has not profited Me. And we testify to that. That is true. We have perverted Your ways, and it has not profited us. But, Lord, because of Your grace and Your mercy and the life of Jesus, His death on the cross, the fact that He was buried and rose again from the dead the third day, all of that, and He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, all of that, Lord, means that this heavy, heavy burden of always missing the mark, we will never quite measure up. We are finite, and You are infinite. You are holy, and we are not. But we thank You that through the sanctifying work of Your Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we are becoming what You have declared us to be. We are becoming what You have declared us to be. So give us the humility to change, and grant us the grace to change. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.